You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We are at the threshold of the Simchas Shas of Daf Yomi. Is it your simcha? Is it my simcha? Is it our simcha? Hopefully we can work through the sugya and figure out the real answer to whose simcha it is. And we're going to have some fascinating insights as to the nature of what a siyum is. Yesterday at the Simchas Shas of MetLife, the following line of Shas was cited at least three, if not four or five times by various speakers. Almost every speaker mentioned this line of Gemara. And that's Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. I'm going to buy it. Tesili. Tesili means I should get, Hashem should repay me, meaning I'm doing a good thing. When I see a young rabbi, a young yeshiva boy, Tesholim Mesichtei, that he finishes his Mesechta, Avin La Yom Etav L'Rabbanan. I make it a Yom Tev L'Rabbanan. Rashi says, "Avin atav yom atav l'rabban." What does the rabbanan mean? It means the talmidim. Okay, for the yeshiva. And Rashi adds three words that will be the focus of our shir tonight: Rosh yeshiva haya. Abaye was the Rosh yeshiva. Thank you for that history lesson, Rashi. Why did Rashi have to say that Abaye was the Rosh yeshiva? So we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to, as an aside, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Yerodei Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Yud, says that we're going to look at a number of reasons why Rashi points out that he's a Rosh Yeshiva. It seems that Rashi is telling you that something is necessary to understand what happened or why it happened or why he did this. He was a Rosh Yeshiva, and that somehow has to do with something. So Rav Moshe's talk says the following. The simcha of a siyum, again, he's not talking about a siyum, he's just talking about in general. Ela al kol lamdei Torah. This is not a simcha for the individuals, those of you who are making a siyum in Shas, that's wonderful for you, incredibly wonderful for you, but it's also wonderful for the rest of us. Why? Because he brings right from this right, from this Gemara. Abaye was not the one who made the siyum, right? It's one of the boys in the yeshiva made the siyum, and yet Abaye himself is making the party. So that's Rav Moshe's proof that the simcha of a siyum is not limited to the Messiah, but to the extended people as well. He says, maybe.
What?
No, to the contrary. Here, there was nothing to attend until Abaye said, Abaye was already, somebody else made a siyum, and no, there is no party until Abaye says, I'm going to make a siyum. I'm going to make a party.
The fellow finished already?
The fellow finished, and he said, I'm going
to
make a party.
Afterward, to celebrate.
Yeah. I don't know if it has to be simultaneous or after. It sounds like afterwards is also fine. Yeah, I don't know if it has to be. You know, you're asking, does a siyum have to be as they finish the last line of the Masechta? Is that when the party has to take place in order to have a din siyum?
Right.
It sounds not like that, yeah. It sounds like after to celebrate,
but
even afterwards.
People come late to shul on Erev Pesach.
Yeah, so there the poskim do say explicitly that even if a person comes late on Erev Pesach, if he eats from that which was... he could break his fast, that's correct. So, Rav Moshe points out, what?
The right thing, you don't have to wait for it to finish, is that they did it 3 days before they finished.
That's more complicated. So Rav Moshe says, no, maybe it's not a good raya. Maybe here, that's why Rashi said that he was a Rosh Yeshiva. Maybe it's only because he was a Rosh Yeshiva and he had vested interests. I don't mean vested interests in a negative way. I mean vested interests that it was his own Talmud. So if it's your Talmud, it's not just your healthy that somebody in Klal Yisroel is Messiah, but your Talmud is Messiah, so you have a chelik in that, so that's why you have bones, teeth in the game. So that's why you're making a simcha. So Rav Moshe says, no, I don't think that's correct. It wouldn't make sense that Abaye would be making the sim if it wasn't, even though he's Rosh Yeshiva, if it wasn't that it's a Klal Yisrael Dikah Simcha. So either way, we see, at least to start off the shir, that the simcha of the individuals who are making a sim is not just your own simcha, but it's all of Klal Yisrael's. That's it. Interesting, though. Look, let's talk about the following shaila. Why did Rashi specify that Abaye was their Rosh Yeshiva? And if Rashi wouldn't have said that, what would have been wrong with understanding this Gemara? What is Rashi adding by saying that Abaye, who made the party, was the Rosh Yeshiva? And this is a beautiful thought that I'd like to share with you from Yaakov Chaim Sofer Shlita in his Sefer Menuchas Shalom, quoted by Yitzchak Zilberstein in Daf al-Daf. And he says, what did Rashi add with that line that Abaye was the Rosh Yeshiva? So first he says the svara that Rav Moshe puts forth, and maybe Abai was specifically happy because of his own Talmud. He says it's much more than that. He says, look at the two bullet points. We have a number of Gemaras. This is two out of numerous ones. Gemara Erevin Samaches says that Abai was so poor, that in his town they didn't have an Erev Chatzos. You know why they didn't have an Erev Chatzos? You know why he couldn't carry on Shabbos? They couldn't carry on Shabbos because Abai, the Morah D'Asur, was so poor, he couldn't afford a box of matzah as the Erev Chatzos to let people carry. He didn't have an extra piece of bread to spare. That's abject poverty. Next bullet point, Ksuvis. Amar Rava, Rava says, Yadana Bebe Nachmeni, I know about Abai, his nickname was Nachmeni, Dolavi Shasi Chamra, that he didn't drink wine. He didn't make Kiddush on wine. Why? So the pastor says because he was so poor, either because he was so poor he couldn't buy wine, or he was so poor that his intestines couldn't handle, his constitution couldn't handle it. So another indication of Abai's abject poverty. Now, if you just look at my bracket for a minute, he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel and Tainus, says no. The reason why Abai didn't drink wine is because Abai was a Kohen. This is a good trivia question. Abai was a Kohen.
David Rosenthal
doesn't
drink wine ever.
What? David Rosenthal
doesn't drink wine ever.
Because he's a
Kohen?
Wow.
He was a,
I didn't know that. Wow. There's a Shita of Rebbe in the Gemara and Tainus that Kohanim, even Bezman Hazeh, shouldn't drink wine in case you marry Yibana Mikdash. He has to be ready for the Beis HaMikdash's rebuilding. What about on Shabbos? The Beis HaMikdash doesn't get built on Shabbos. Uh-huh, okay, fabulous. I didn't know that. Beautiful.
Friday too.
I hear that. No, but I'm saying how often do you drink, you know, Friday? On Shabbos, this Kiddush.
If he tells you it's because he doesn't like it.
So what we have here is an incredible thing. So we have Abai is so poor that he doesn't have an extra piece of bread. He's so poor that he can't even drink a cup of wine. And yet, what is he doing? He's making this Yom HaTov L'Rabbana. The word Yontif is the Mashmos of Basel V'Yayin also, by the way. He doesn't just say, Asina Sudasa, Asina, I don't know what. Yom HaTov, Yom Tov has a din, you know, there's a din Yontif. Yontif is Basel V'Yayin B'Pashtas. So skip to the Marashal, source number four. Turn the page, look at the four, number four. The Marashal brings this point out to a very beautiful, in a beautiful, very beautiful way. Marshal says that he brings another Gemara in Shabbos, that Abai had this disease because he was so malnourished. So again, Gemara after Gemara after Gemara showing that Abai was so incredibly poor, and points out the Marshal. Afil hachi avid yom atav l'rabbanu machmar rov chibus hamitzvah. His love for Torah was so incredibly strong, so intense, that even though he was at the epitome of poverty, he had absolutely nothing. When it came to being a simcha for Torah, that was something that he, all of a sudden, there was money for. Which is, just a lesson in what it means to the simcha of Torah, the simcha of, anytime you wonder, should I really have paid that amount of money for those tickets yesterday? At least now you can see the lesson from Abai, there's what to talk about. I'm reminded of a story, I think of Shmuel Birnbaum. I think I heard it at his Levaya in Flatbush, that he was in yeshiva in Europe before Shanghai. He was famous in the yeshiva because he had a ketzos. They didn't have svarim in those days. He had a ketzos. There are very few svarim, but he had a ketzos. And somebody made some comment to him about, oh, you're rich, you have a ketzos. He said, no, you don't understand. My mother sold her Shabbos dress to buy me a ketzos. Meaning she had 1 week dress for Shabbos, dress to do the week, she sold her Shabbos dress to buy her some ketzos. You know, the concept of, dedication and money for Torah, even if there's money for nothing else, is something that is a little bit lost in our generation. Okay, so that's the Marashal's very emotionally laden point, that even Abai, who had absolutely no money for anything else, when it comes for making a siyum, for honoring Torah, and whatever is involved in seeing him. For that, there is money. But look at a little bit of a more historical suggestion that Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer suggests on the bottom of page 3.
It's from Mir.
He said, from Mir, yes.
He was born in Bradovich and went to
Mir. Yeah, he lived in Mir. Thank you. So comes this beautiful thought of Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer Shlita, and he says on the bottom of page 1, he says, you know why Abai spent this money? And of course, given that Abai was so poor, The answer is Rashi. Rashi that said he was a Rosh Yeshiva. The obvious question is, how in the world could Abaye spend the money for the Siyam if he didn't have the money? Answers this beautiful answer. Look at the bottom paragraph. That Rashi is telling us that he's a Rosh Yeshiva, and Rashi in Sota holds what? Rashi in Sota says, based on the Gemara there, that when a person was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, the community would give him money, just like by the Kohen Gadol. When a Kohen Gadol would become Kohen Gadol, they would elevate him, they make him wealthy so he would have the prestige and have the gravitas and have the chashivas of being the Kohen, you know, he had money. It gives chashivas to a person also. So here, when a person becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, they also would give him manos, mashirnos, so kadeshe chashiv yishmu dvarav. You want the whole, what's the point of a Rosh Yeshiva? People aren't going to listen to him. So to make people want to listen to him more, they would give him money. The Balabat would give him money to elevate his position. Oh, that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying that at this point in Abaye's life, yes, there was a point when he was very poor. Rashi's saying, Rosh Yeshiva Haya, that this point when he was Rosh Yeshiva, at this point he was already a little bit wealthier. Now he was able to
He made partner.
Now he was able to, you know, make the party for his Talmidim. That's, I guess, less emotionally fuzzy like the Maharshal suggested, but a beautiful answer that Abaye was now at a wealthier stage, so he was able to provide this suda for his Talmidim. Now, another diuk that comes out lehalacha from this Gemara that says Abaye made a party for his Talmud. Now, Abaye was an Amora or a Tana or a Rishon? Or a Gaon. Abaye was an Amora, of course. That means that there was no Gemara. So it means, what Masechta did he finish?
Yerushalmi.
I hear what you're saying.
Oh,
I
answered it's
wrong. You're at Yerushalmi was written earlier. Okay. So what the, I guess they didn't make, okay, what I'm about to show you in source number 5 is a different point. If there was no Gemara, because Abaye was one of the Amoraim.
But in other words, they were just learning about that.
Okay, so you're giving an answer already. So the Pashtus could be that he finished the Masechta Mishnayos. You're saying, but he finished the Masechta Mishnayos with a little bit more in depth. But what do you see arrive from this, that what? Theoretically, it seems that Mikra Hadin, or a person can make a Siyam on a Masechta Mishnayos. Because that's what the Gemara says literally. When he made a Masechta on a Masechta, what does the word Masechta mean? Masechta means it has to be Mishnayos because there was no Masechta of Gemara because there was no Gemara yet. He lived before the Gemara was redacted, was composed. So that's what it says in this Shilas and Shuas Beis Yisrael. Mizerai, for this Gemara of Abaye making a Siyam on a Siyam Masechta, to Gam Siyam Mishnayos Chashav Siyam. To be made by Lahoya, Lashisha Sidre Mishnah, Lahoya Adayan HaGemara Mesud. There was no such thing as a Gemara. He says, oh, maybe you'll say like Tzafrir is saying that, but he learned the Mishnah, his mamash like with all the Shakla and Tarya, all the discussions that ended up becoming the Gemara, so he really did learn everything about this Mesud with what you and I call Gemara. Well, it wasn't written then, but he still went through that whole. He says, oh, but who is this party for? The Gemara said in the first line of Anamar Makomas, Ki Chazin Abaye says, Ki Chazin Tzur V'mei Rabbana. What's the definition of the word Tzur V'mei Rabbana? A young whippersnapper rabbi, yeshiva bacher. Yeshiva bacher. What does Rashi hold the word Tzur V'mei Rabbana? If you look in Taina Staf Dalet, Tzur V'mei Rabbana Nikra Bacher Charif. That means you're talking about a sharp yeshiva boy. So he says it's not reasonable to say that a sharp yeshiva boy knows all the pilpul of the Amoraim. And that's what's to be included in the Siyam Masechta. So it seems like a Siyam of a Masechta Mishnayos would be sufficient. Okay, that's an interesting diuk in this Gemara. Along similar lines...
Didn't they memorize back then? It wasn't written
Mishnayos, they memorized... Well, everything was Torah Shabbat. This is after Rebbe.
It's a much bigger accomplishment to memorize Mishnayos and to know
the... Yeah, but I hear that. You're saying if you memorize, you know, four Prakim Masechus Megillah, your nine-year-old could do it if you
right.
only, you, you know,
pilpul,
went to the right school.
But with even a minimal amount of pilpul is a great accomplishment.
I hear you, Hara. There's another important bracha, Gemara, and a famous Pnei Yeshua. I don't mean it's famous because I knew it. I mean it's famous because Ramoshef Paskin's a famous Tshuva based on it. The Gemara tells a story in Brachos in Yuzayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan, whenever he would make a siyum on Eov, this is what he would say. I'm not sure if he did it once or he regularly made a siyum on Iyov, and this is what he would say regularly. This is what the lessons that he would learn from Iyov. So if Adam Lamas, we're all, you know, there's going to come a time for everybody. V'sof behem l'shchita, it's a little bit gory. V'hakol misei mamdim, right? Everybody goes to, we're all going to the same place. Nevertheless, Ashrei mi shegadol b'Torah, v'amalo b'Torah, v'osanach hazruch liyotzro. Does this sound familiar? It's a song, but they don't have the first part.
Right.
It doesn't say we're all going to die. Just say Ashrei mi shamalo b'Torah, v'osanach hazruch liyotzro. V'gadol b'shem tov, and Baruch Hashem, somebody who grows with a shem tov, v'nifter b'shem tov in olam. Meaning a person's going to go anyway, so they might as well, you know, make it productive while they're here. So that's the Pnei Yeshua has a comment on that Gemara. Pnei Yeshua is wondering, why would Rabbi Yochanan make a statement when he finished Iyov? What do you mean he made a statement? Like next time you, I don't know, when you finish breakfast, do you utter a statement? And like the Aguda sends out, or the RCA sends out like a, you know, a statement proclaiming, I found it very humorous that there was a certain large, rabbinic body that last week came out with a condemnation against the murder, the attack in a shul with a machete of five Jews. Like, I don't think you need to have a statement to realize that
propel.
It's not good for a person to come into a shul with a machete, and you don't need a statement to condemn that. So Rav Yochanan made a statement, he finished Maseches Iyov and he made a statement. If he wants to make a point, so make the point. What is it like? He finished Iyov and then he made his statement. That's what bothers the Pnei Yeshua. What's this statement that he's like announcing? I finished Iyov and now I want to announce something. If it's true, so say it. If it's not, what does it have to do with the fact? Yes, there are lessons in Iyov that relate to the purpose of life and suffering, but look what the Pnei Yeshua says in source number 7. The Gemara, he quotes the Gemara about Iyov, and look at the three dots. Nearly, b'yishuv lashon haggadah, the Rabbi Yochanan called Masadim Sifra Iyov, what it means when the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan made a siyum on, when he would finish Sefer Iyov, what that means, says the Pnei Yeshua, the reason why he made that statement was because we're missing that in-between line, we're missing the between the lines of that Gemara in Brachas. Between the lines is that Hayarogel asos su the siyum. Is that Rabbi Yochanan presumably made a siyum, and you want to know what he said, the Dvar Torah that he said at the Siyam? This was the Dvar Torah that he said at the Siyam. This was the opening of his Siyam. This was the opening line to his Siyam. What do you see by this? You see from this that you can make a Siyam on what? On a Sefer in Tanakh. And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins based on this Pnei Yeshua. And the Pnei Yeshua's diak in this Gemara, that a person, even if they're making a Siyam only on a Sefer of Tanakh, could properly make a siyum. Now, keep in mind, does anyone know how long Sefer Iyov is? 48 prakim, if I remember correctly. So it is quite long, and the words aren't easy. So it happens to be not an easy, you know, it's not like you read through, you know, Ovadia. Anyone know how long Ovadia is? It's one perek long, yes. It's one perek, it's about 20 psukim long. So there's a Sefer in Tanakh and there's a Sefer in Tanakh. So, my father teaches Tanakh, and I remember when my father once gave on a Lel Shavuos in his shul in Flatbush years ago, and he said, we're going to learn Sefer Avadia tonight, from beginning to end. So it feels like, wow, I'm going to learn all Sefer tonight. Yeah, so in 45 minutes, they did all 20 psukim. You know, that was part of the shtick. So either way, you see, so Rav Moshe says, again, we don't have to go through the tshuva, but you can look at it, you can find it. So Rav Moshe says it's, you know, a person can make a siyum on a Sefer of Tanakh if they do it in depth with one of the Rishonim and they learn it thoroughly and it took a long time. Okay, but the fact is, you see from the Pnei Yeshua's understanding of this Gemara Brachas, that nevertheless, fundamentally, you can make a siyum on a Sefer of Tanakh. And previously, the first church was also, we also proved that you could make a, theoretically, fundamentally, a siyum on one mesechta of one mesechta mishnayos. Fine. Now, let's go to another point in halacha. And this is also a fascinating historical episode in Jewish history. The Maharshal comes in the Yamshel Shalom. Maharshal lived in the time of the Ramah, the early 1500s, mid 1500s. And the Yamshel Shlomo has some very important halachos and chidushim, and one of them is this point, and that is that a siyum is considered a sudas mitzvah. Okay, there are halachas of Sudas Mitzvah, there are halachas as far as enabling a person to, you know, have meat on the 9 days, as far as Aveilim are concerned. There are nafkaminas halacha maisa if something is a Sudas Mitzvah or not. Fine, so he paskins that a siyum is considered Sudas Mitzvah. And he brings a raya from Aaron Gemara that Abayu made this party when there was a when one of his tamid finished. Umishum zeh, look at what I underlined. Hayonir levoy shasim chaba ona b'siyum esechta. Theoretically, it seems to me you should recite the bracha that we are familiar with from Sheva Brachas, Shasimcha b'ma'ono, De'elcha simcha yosef ne'a kodesh baruch ve'ela simcha v'rina shal Torah. De'elcha kodesh baruch ve'olam el da'an amas shal halacha. Theoretically, the greatest simcha is the simcha v'siyum, and therefore, if you say Shasimcha b'ma'ono, when it comes to a Sheva Brachas, for example, certainly by the greatest simcha, which is that of Limud HaTorah.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In what context would you say this?
Maybe they're mentioning, I guess, that could be. So says the Mashal, listen to this, look at this story. V'chein horesi pam achas halach l'maisa. I passed in like this chiddush that I had, and I told I told wherever I was, I had to see him, I said, you know what, let's say shasimcha b'mano. It was never done before. You know what happened? He doesn't say what happened, but something happened. When it's balbel hasimcha b'mahumos gedolos, I desibos kashas. There were difficult things that happened. I don't know what happened. Somebody started screaming. I don't know what happened. He said something terrible happened at that seuda, and I took the blame because of my psak. Because of this chiddush that I said, I passed in the chiddush halacha l'maisa that was never said before. And I went with it, and I take the blame that that's why this terrible thing, whatever happened, I have no idea. I don't know, maybe the floor crashed down here, the wedding, and at the wedding the floor crashes through. Maybe, who knows what? Alkein lo kasu elu b'chasu p'dim haben. This bracha shasim chavono, the chazal, or the mesorah is, only to recite at a wedding, at a p'dim haben. And the Gemara says only and b'mila gam kein lulei tzara d'yinuka. We theoretically would have said it out of bris mila if not for the tzara of the baby. Aval b'mises achrini lo. Apparently, I was wrong, and I take the blame for it. And even though I think I'm right, but I'm changing the mesorah, and therefore, it was all my fault. Look what he says. Beautiful words, mamash. Beautiful, beautiful words. Now these words, if you heard it from a rebbe, you know, in a shmooze, you know, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 150 years ago. 200 years ago, that would be one thing. But to the Marshal, who is an Amud Hara'a and is totally, an Ish Halacha in every sense of the word, upon whom we and so much of our Halacha lies, look at the words that he says. Beautiful words. Bevadai, as he's saying humbly that I thought I was right, but then I realized maybe I made a mistake, because Chachamim only said it, the Gemara only said it in one place, and I'm applying it to a new place that wasn't in the Gemara. Bevadai kol divrayim bekabbalah uvesodos pnimios al kol sicha umila. Every word of Chazal, every word of Shas is with sodos pnimios for each and every word. Ve'ein niskan dafka ba'osa mitzvos v'lo le'inu acher. And it was only established for whatever they said. And not, I don't have the right to extend the din of Shasim Chavono. And then he says, v'dahab yontif mechiv l'harbis besudis l'smach v'ilach v'lom v'rachinan. Even though yontif has a din of simcha, but we still make the brach, so he says, I shouldn't have pushed that which Chazal said. Chazal said it, whatever they said, it was with the incredible, with sodos and primios and every word, and therefore leave it at that. It's just a nice perspective. A beautiful thought that is a general perspective on what the daf, what the Siyum HaShas could mean to us, is shared by the Belzer Rebbe at a Siyum HaShas. I don't know if it was the last one or a few ago. I don't know when this was from, but it's quoted in the Sefer Daf Al Daf, which I think is also from Yitzchak Zilberstein. And the Belzer Rebbe says that a beautiful idea, and this would be, if I had to speak at Shalosh Shudas this week, this might be what I would say. I'm not, but I might. If I was, this might be what I'd say. Siyum Maseches, he be'esim simchas ha'asid. A siyum of a mesechta is not a simcha of that which has been accomplished. And I know that's what they like to say. And whenever you go to a graduation, the graduation is called a commencement, because you're really beginning your new life and you're starting a new stage in life. But look what he says. He says it much more deeply. It's not just, oh, now you could learn it again. Look at this. Kedugas Mishi Yeshlomana wrote some aside. When you reach $1 million, all of a sudden, right now, I want to become a millionaire. Once I reach my millionaire, all of a sudden I want to become a billionaire. When you reach a billion, all of a sudden you want to become Jeff Bezos. So you don't have the hasagas to the next level until you reach that level. Until you reach another level, then you could start having bigger hasagas. Once a person, the same thing as true says about Zreb, Misha Yesh Lamanu Atzah Asayim, when it comes to this, once you are a Messiah, until you finish the Messiah, like, oh, I wish I could finish the Messiah. Once you finish the Messiah, like, wow, I want to chaz the Messiah, I want to know Shas. Before you finish Shas the first time, it's hard to say, I want to finish Shas. I want to know Shas, because you just want to learn it. Once you learned it, you can say, now I want to know Shas. Mesupra, look at the second paragraph, he has a beautiful story. For the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim from Sanz, once a chassid once came to him and complained that his son doesn't have any cheshik to learn. And the Divrei Chaim said, how in the world, if your son never tasted the sweetness of Torah, how could you expect him to have the cheshik to learn Torah? Meaning, the cheshik to learn only comes once you taste the sweetness of something. If you don't have to taste the sweetness of something, you know, if you taste something, a really good, you go to a restaurant and they have a really, really, really good steak, so then you could, moving on in life, you go to any other restaurant, you wish you could have a steak like that restaurant. If you never taste the sweetness of Torah, how could you want to learn more? If you don't, oh, but now, once you taste the Torah, then you could want to learn more Torah, want to learn Torah more deeper. And this, with this, he says, it's a beautiful diuk in the Gemara that we opened with this evening. Because we saw, Abaye said, Avinu yom atava l'rabbanon. I would make a yantif for the Rabban. Why? Why is he being so... provincial? Why is he being so limiting? Why, Rabbi wants to make a party. Let him make it for the whole town. Okay, so he can't afford it. So he could afford it. He was Rosh Yeshiva. Let him find a sponsor. Why is he making a siyum just for L'Rabbanan? It's Meduyik in the Gemara. Avinu Yom Atava, period. Why is he at L'Rabbanan? Says the Belz Rebbe something beautiful. He said, because only the Rabbanan, only the Bnei Yeshiva, who learned and know what it means to want to learn more, will they appreciate what a siyum has to offer. Because again, the point of a siyum is not to celebrate what a person has accomplished, but it's to express the taiva to be able to learn more, and that only comes after you had a little bit of taste and you had a little bit of experience in the learning. Then you can appreciate what it means to go to the next level, to take it to the next tie, to the next darga. That's why it's bedavka to the rabbanon, because they can appreciate what a siyum is for. If you have somebody who doesn't appreciate what Torah is, and you see the siyum, wow, it's beautiful, 90,000 people together, what achdus? No! Forget the achdus. Achdus is great. Torah is so sweet, one more Torah. That's something that can only be appreciated by the people that are the rabbanon. And that's why the Gemara says specifically, Avidna Yom Atava, rabbanon. Okay, so that's the first two-thirds of the Shia. I want to finish off the last third with a number of just a few sources throughout from different places in the Torah where you see the source. The Ramah Paskins, if you jump to, do I have it here? The Ramah Paskins, yeah, look at source number 11. The Ramah Paskins in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kishemasai Meseches, Mitzvah L'smach V'lasa Suda V'nikrei Sudas Mitzvah. So again, he's Paskining like the Marashah that is a Sudas Mitzvah. But first of all, he's saying that it's proper to taka make a siyum. It's the kimim in the line of the Shulchan Aruch to make a siyum. Where does this come from? Where does the concept of making a siyum come from? So we have Paskim Melachim. Melachim talking about the story of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech goes to sleep. He becomes Melech. He has a dream, and in his dream, Hashem asks him what he wants, and he says, "Of course, I want Chachma." We know the story, and I think this point was actually mentioned yesterday by somebody in the Siyum Hashatz. I don't remember who. So Pasuk says, Vayikatz Shlomo v'inei chalom. Shlomo wakes up and he had this dream that Hashem granted him wisdom. What was the first thing that he does after he was granted this wisdom? Vayavo Yerushalayim, vayamod lefnei Aron bris Hashem, vayal olos, vayas shlomim, vayas mishtel l'chol avadav. Zot the Medrash in Koheles on this Pasuk. Vayas mishtel, what does it mean that he made a mishtel? Rav Yisrael mikan shos in suda l'gomra shel Torah. Which is so weird. Because this is the source in Chazal. Shlomo HaMelech's getting his wisdom is the source in Chazal for the chiyuv of making a siyum. But he didn't finish anything, he just got it. So it's a little bit weird. Continues the matter. Right after he got this chachma, he immediately says the Medrash was able to say with Ruach HaKodesh, Mishlei and Iyo, Mishlei and Koheles and Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, Koheles, fine. So I think with what we just said from the Belzer Rebbe, you could appreciate a little bit the concept of a Siyum. The point of a Siyum is not to look back at your accomplishments and pat yourself on the back and say, I'm happy with myself, which is a big part of it, but that's not the din of a Siyum. The din of a Siyum is forward thinking, is prospective, not, it's not for perspective, it's for prospective perspective. It's to look forward to see what you, where you could go with it. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he had this new chokhmah and he now had the capacity to plumb the depths of Torah to a greater depth, all of a sudden he makes a Siyum, because that's the point of a Siyum. The point of a Siyum is to see where it could push a person to go weiter, further, deeper, higher. That's the point of a Siyum.
The term Siyum is a misnomer.
No, it's because when you make, the way the Belzer Rebbe is saying is that when you make a Siyum, that gives you the ability to, you know, have this new perspective. Yes, unless you say that the point of a Siyum is providing yourself the opportunity to learn at greater depths. So once you finish the thing, once you finished it the first time around, you can now, you've now reached that darga, that plateau of being able to go to new depths. So that's what Shlomo also reached.
Without completing anything.
Without completing anything, right. But if you look in the Gra, on that Shulchan Aruch, the Gra does something different. The Gra does not quote this Medrash. The Gra quotes a Rashbam in Bava Basra as the source for this halacha to make a Siyum. The Gemara Bava Basra says the following: Kuf Chafal from Beis, you could source number 12. Lo Yom, you know by heart. Lo Yom and Tevel Yisrael Kachamisha Asar Be'av Ukiyom HaKippurim. Of course, the girls would go out and they'd dance, and the boys would pick out a kala. And the Gemara says, Bishlam Yom Kippur. I understand why it's a happy day. It's a day of Slicha Mechila, and we got the luchos. But why is Tu B'Av special? The Gemara answers, Yom Sheposkim Bo Milichros. There are a number of things that happened on Tu B'Av, but one of them is Yom Sheposkim Bo Milichros Eitzin L'Ma'aracha. They finished cutting the wood. Now, just to understand that, the heat of the summer, the hottest, bright sun of the summer, is up till the 15th of Av. You know, mid-August is usually when it comes out, around then, or mid-August. So you have the sun reaches its zenith, its strong point at Yudalid Av, at Tu B'Av, that's the high point of the heat, and then at that point the heat begins to go down. So the wood was the driest at around that time of the year. And therefore, when they wanted to take good quality wood and make sure that there would be good quality wood available for the Ma'arach, for the Mizbeach, so take that wood that was, they would cut it by that, they'd chop it by then, and then it would be able to dry. Says Rashbam, something incredible. Haryukorsim eitzim litzorcha marach l'chol hashana. And mikanvalech, afterwards the sun was not as strong, there'd be more moisture, and the wood would not be as good quality wood. V'osa yom shepasku. That day that they finished cutting the wood, chopping the wood, hayusmechem, this is the punchline, l'fisha v'osu hayom hayumashlimen mitzvah gedola kazos. The concept of Tu B'Av, according to this, that it's for finishing the chopping of the wood, is that you finished a long mitzvah. What do you see? Says the Gra, this is the source for a Siyum. Fascinating. According to the Gra, the source of a Siyum has nothing to do with? That's true also, but it's nothing to do with Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah of cutting the Atzei Ma'aracha. Which is why I said, and this is what I wanted to say. I think I said this at my vart. I got engaged when I was a little bit older. And I was going out for a long time. I went out with a lot of people. And when I got engaged, I said this. I said that I hold that a vart, if you're going out for a long time, is a din of a sudas mitzvah. The vart itself. Why? It has a din of a siyum. Same din of a siyum. It's the same, according to the Gra, based on this Rashbam, when you finish a mitzvah that took a long time to do, even though it's an actual mitzvah, right? Like the cutting the Atzei Ma'arach, is it a mitzvah? Has somebody learned kashim here? If David is cutting the wood of the Ma'arach, is it a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, or is it just a hechsher? My shas yidim. I don't know. I didn't learn that anyway. Now I can ask my shas yidim.
Sure.
So you'll get back to me. So either way, so that's why I thought if a person, you know, if a person gets engaged after a long time, after going out for a long time, they should lechora it has a din of a sudas mitzvah, because any mitzvah that you do that takes a long time to do, whatever mitzvah it is, it's nothing to do with Torah that the Gra holds, and that's the Gra's suggestion for the source for a siyum. The fact that you spend time doing a mitzvah, an elongated mitzvah that involved a long period of time to fulfill, it warrants a party when you finish it. So that's nothing to do with Torah per se. There's one last source I want to share with you. Look at source number 15, another source for the concept of making a siyum. And that is a very mysterious, enigmatic pasuk in Shmos. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael V'sachas raglov k'masi l'vnas ha-sapiruch etz ma'ashmai l'tohar. Whatever that pasuk means, they had a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu they were able to perceive. They perceived Hashem, they had this, and they drank, they ate and drank. So, the Ramban, there might be other ways to read this pasuk, not in a complimentary way, but at least the Ramban says the following. The Ramban says that because they perceived Hashem, they drank. They asu simcha v'yom tov. Kichein chova l'smach v'kabalas ha-Torah. This was the simcha of rejoicing, of being mekabel the Torah. And he quotes a pasuk. Kashet tziva v'kasum kol divrei ha-Torah al havanim. If you remember in Sefer Dvarim, when Hashem commands Klal Yisrael to write Torah down on these stones, the pasuk says v'achalta sham v'samachta v'nei Hashem l'kecha. You see that when you receive Torah or write down Torah or whatever it is, you should eat and party and celebrate. And with here he quotes what we saw about what we quote from the Medrash about Shlomo HaMelech, and he says similarly when Bnei Yisrael, when David HaMelech concluded the financial backing to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, also they celebrated and they had a party. Afkan v'yom chasuna satara asu ken asu, says Ramban that when a person has a special moment in Torah, a siyum or a kabbalah of the Torah, it also warrants a party. We should be zocha that all the learning should be just a stepping stone. It shouldn't be like the Belzer Rebbe, just a simcha for the asid of plumbing new depths, of reaching new heights, of Bez Hashem. And all those who were Messiah Daf Yomi should, like the Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, they should know Daf Yomi. And all of us who have not yet finished Shas, we should be zocheh to finish Shas and to know Shas and as much as we can along the way.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.